Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Church, why don't you grab your seats? Glad you can make it today. If you need to, you can run in place a little bit to help all the rest of us. If you're extra hot, move anyway. It'll help all of us stay warm. Can always feel it a little bit when it gets down around zero in here. Well, not zero in here, but zero out there. Well, praise God. I'm so blessed that you're here. Welcome to Abbot Loop Community Church. If this is your first time, we want to welcome you. My name is Josh Tanner. I'm the lead pastor here at Abbot Loop, and we're blessed that you made it. It's a new year. Yeah. Amen. You know, I was talking to my good friend Janet Meester, and we're talking about the new year, it's funny that we think about in years, you know, year to year, like, 2012 is going to be so much different than 2011, you know, and for some reason, you know, 2011 was so hard. And I'm just hoping today won't be hard. Yesterday was not hard for me. Yesterday, the last few weeks have been really good. But, you know, isn't it interesting how we expect the next day, oh, it's going to all be good. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Hope. We got hope, we got faith, right? Oh, praise God. Well, I am excited about 2012 and what God has in store for us, and really I'm excited about today. And that's what I want to talk about today is about our dreams. And the title of my message is, Here Comes the Dreamer. So we're going to talk about Joseph today, and we're also going to just think a little bit about God's vision and what he has in store for each of us as individuals, right? Because each of us has a very specific destiny and call from the Lord. And God has shaped each one of us uniquely, and he has called us each to something great, but he also has called us to be in fellowship with one another, right? And to do something together. Amen? So I'm excited about that. So anyway, let's pray, and we'll get moving here. Father, thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. God, thank you for the truth, God, that transforms our life. God, it's like gravity. God, we run into gravity and we feel it. We begin to understand its significance and that, Lord, it is constant and it never changes. And Father, I thank you that your word and your truth never changes and it's constant. And God, when we encounter your truth, Lord, it changes us. So Father, I'm asking for a change today, a change in my heart, God, in our hearts. Lord, I'm praying that you would ignite vision, life, hope, a glimpse of the beautiful future that you have designed and destined for each one of us. God, we just love you and we submit everything that happens today to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I didn't have any explosions, gas leaks, furnaces burn out over Christmas this year. I'm hugely thankful for that. Last year, my furnace went out, and it was a gigantic amount of work. Many of you loaned me heaters and kerosene heaters, and I was burning wood like crazy, and some of you great members came and fixed my furnace, which was a huge blessing. And you know, something about having, a holiday that is not interrupted with disaster is a blessing to me. also, another good friend of mine and an awesome, fantastic member of our church, Wendy Thomas, got married this weekend. Was that yesterday? Was that yesterday or was it Friday? It was Friday. Oh, praise God. So she's married to a great young man, James something. He's great. Perkins, yeah, that's right. He is a fantastic young guy. So anyway, they're off on their honeymoon in Hawaii, suffering for Jesus. But Yeah, I'm excited about their future. So this week I was a part of a funeral, a baby dedication, and a wedding in 1 week. And now it's 2012. So I guess that's how we're going to finish it. And we did, Christmas was last week too, wasn't it? 1 week ago. So that's a busy week. I believe that God, in his amazing sovereignty, has such a unique and specific plan for this year. And I'm not necessarily think that I understand all of what that is, but one of the pieces that I think God wants to for us to think about today is about us as individuals. Do you have a dream? Do you have a vision? Do you have a purpose? Do you matter? So I want you to really think very personally today about how you fit and what God has shaped you specifically for. Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 2, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So it goes on, and people in the crowd, they ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel, which is referenced in Joel chapter 2. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all the earth. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my maidservants and men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Sorry, a little New King James backlash going on in there. This is the New Living Translation. Okay, anyway, and I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent for your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God." All who have been called by the Lord our God. Every individual who calls on the name of the Lord will what? Be saved. Be saved. One of the things that I felt the Lord was laying on my heart when I was thinking about this message and what God wanted to, the foundation he wants to lay in our church and how he wants to use us as a body, is there is something very individual and specific he has called each one of us to. There's a common denominator, a base foundation of what each Christian is called to do. And I believe it's summed in Acts 1:8, where he says, you receive power, right? When the Holy Spirit comes, we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So you can be my what? Witnesses. Witnesses. To all the people, right? And in Matthew 28, he says that we're going to go and make disciples of all the nations, right? I just want us to think just very briefly, just about our lives as individuals. Do you have a dream? Do you participate in a dream, a vision, to see the world saved? You know, as a Christian, each one of us is bound to this dream, bound to this vision that God has set forward. He put it in motion when Jesus came. And his desire is that all men, all mankind will be saved. And his desire is that those that call on the name of the Lord will be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to proclaim his word. Right, church? That each one of us is actually uniquely shaped to not only use our gifts to bless the body, but to bring new people into the kingdom. That you are fully empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God, proclaiming the gospel, to lead people to Jesus. Did you know that each one of you, myself included, we are all so empowered by the Holy Spirit to win souls? This is God's number one priority on the earth, happening right now today, is to draw people into relationship with him. That's it. And he has designed each one of us. He has filled us with so much power, so much of his Holy Spirit, that those that are being drawn by his Spirit, it's irresistible for them. They cannot resist the drawing and the power and the work of the Holy Spirit happening in and through you. I just want to jump into the life of Joseph. I want to just use this this story to help make a few points here. But we see Joseph in Genesis 38 or 37. And many of us know this story, so I'm not going to read the whole story. But many of us know this story. And Joseph, he's 17 years old. And his father loves him more than all of his other kids. And I just want to recommend to you fathers that you don't do this to your kids, because it's probably not creating the healthiest dynamic in your families. Half the problem of this whole story is the way Jacob's issues, right? The father's issues here. But Jacob loves Joseph because he's blessed that Joseph was born in his old age. And for whatever reason, he is obviously showing favoritism to Joseph. But in spite of Joseph's dysfunctional family, God has a vision for Joseph. And he gives this vision to Joseph in a dream. In fact, in two dreams. And the first dream, he gives him this vision, and he shares it with his brothers. To talk about the vision specifically isn't not my point, but he gets a vision and he shares it with his brothers. And because of the current dynamics in his family, his brothers are real tweaked. They're already tweaked with Joseph. In fact, it says that they can't even say one kind word to him. That's a bad situation. You know, I never grew up in a family where, you know, maybe it was 50-50. Kind words and unkind words, right? But I can't imagine every single one of my 11 brothers, or, you know, 10 brothers, whatever it was, were rallying on me every single day. That would not be a pleasant experience. For some reason, Joseph feels like he has to share his dream with this group of individuals. Not about you, but I wouldn't say this is a safe environment to be sharing your heart. Right? So the first time, and they start hating him even more. And you know that came out. It just says they hate him more. Well, they were already expressive about their hatred toward him. So I'm sure that it came out in you know, more verbal abuse, more nudges and bumps, right? Then he shares his dream with them. He gets a second dream, and he shares it with them again. And he even shares it with his father. And his father is so shocked. He's like, what are we? Is your mom and I going to bow down to you too? And then he's like, he goes away and he ponders it. He says that his father wondered, while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dream meant. I just want to throw this out here. That I know that there is a dream that God has given each one of you. I know it. I know he has. He's designed you for something. Whether you know it yet or not, I know he has given you a dream. This word to dream in the Hebrew, it really means to be bound to. It has a direct meaning of to be bound to. So to more correctly say that Joseph had a dream, or it was more that he was bound to a dream. That dream actually, he was bound to it. And that he belonged to that vision that God had for him. And can I just maybe suggest this, that you and I have the same kind of binding to a dream that God has shaped and destined us for? That he has actually bound you to something great. And you can't escape it. He made you for it. Look, you could have been born anywhere at any time. Of the billions of people that exist, you live here today in this time. So you have to ask yourself, God, what is the dream that I am bound to? And you know, you might even have a dream. And God's given you a dream and you started sharing it. And especially when we're young, we think, like Joseph, he gets this idea and he goes, I don't really know who I am yet. And so what I have to do is take the gift God gave me or the dream God gave me, and I've got to put it out there and cast it out there so that people will buy into it. Oh, somebody needs to know that I matter, that I'm important. I'm bound to this thing. I know God is going to do it. David was the same way. Except he responded very differently than Joseph did. David was bound to a dream to be king. God bound him to that dream and that vision. He received it differently than Joseph did, but he still got a dream. He had a vision. He had a destiny from God. And he chose to keep it inside of himself and ponder on that thing and wait on the Lord and continue to seek him and never lay his hand to that dream and let God build the dream and emerge the dream. Joseph, being a young guy that was rejected and insecure, he takes his dream that he's bound to and he casts it out there. It's like, please, someone accept me. I do matter. I am important. And when he gets ahead of God's timing for his dream, he really pokes the buttons of the people around him that already don't like him. Right? And it's not like he really did anything wrong, did he? He was just kind of born at the wrong time, and he had a dad that was kind of a mess. Sounds a little bit like some of us, right? And he's just got the cards he was dealt. And we just got the cards we're dealt, don't we? And we've got to figure out life. We've got to figure out what God has shaped us for. And we have to be patient to wait for that thing to emerge. As Joseph comes upon his brothers when his father sends him out, a little bit farther on in the chapter here, his father sends him out to check up on his brothers, another unwise decision. The father had been paying attention to the family dynamics. This is probably not the wisest thing to do. Hey, go be a tattletale on your brothers who already hate you. Out in the woods all alone. Right. So Joseph goes out, and we know this story. When he goes out, his brothers see him coming, and they recognize him at a distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father that a wild animal had eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. We'll see what becomes of his dreams. You know that when we cast our dreams, and our vision of who we believe God has shaped us to be, when we do it unwisely, and we cast it out there too soon, or we feel like we need people to identify us with that thing that we feel God has made us for, then it puts us in this really difficult place. And we really set ourselves up for a lot of hurt. Because, you know, people are insecure too. You know, we're all asking a lot of the same questions, aren't we? Do I matter? Do I belong? How do I work through my own hurts, fears, discouragements, right? Every single one of us asks these questions.
Who do I matter to? So his brothers want to matter to their father, don't they? They want to be special to their father too. But the dynamics that are going on, they're just so hurt. They've taken it all out and with jealousy on Joseph. So Joseph's cast comes and his brothers see the opportunity to ruin him and to try to wreck that dream. There are times when we get ahead of ourselves, right? And we cast our vision out, and then we get smacked down by sometimes the people we love the most. And that hurts in a place that's so deep, it's so personal, because it's the thing that we're bound to and we know God shaped us for. But then people can come in and they can just take our dreams and throw them right into a pit. Right? And they say, I'm going to kill your dream. It feels that way, doesn't it? Feels like people are saying, I'm going to kill your dream. But we need to realize there's something much bigger happening in the story of our life. Right? That we're bound to a dream. We're bound to a destiny that God has given each one of us. And even if other people throw us in a pit, right? And instead of killing us, they decide, I'm going to sell them to slaves. I'm going to sell them as a slave to, you know, this group of people. That even if someone comes into your life and you feel like they've made decisions that have controlled and wrecked your life, that God can bring you into the house of Pharaoh. See, as Joseph gets sold into slavery, he gets sold to Potiphar, who Potiphar is a captain of in the army of Pharaoh. And see, being a slave was not Joseph's ideal way and avenue or his preferred plan or how he would have got himself into a place to fulfill the dream that was in his heart. And each one of us have this similar kind of story and life going on, life story happening, where we believe we're made for something, and we hope and dream, and we get ourselves out there, and when we do, it seems that someone close to us, not always, but it seems common that someone close to us, maybe even a family member, will strike that dream down, and it'll pierce our heart and hurt us in a way that we feel, man, there's no way I can recover from this. My dream's been stolen. And a lot of times, it seems to me that we then give up on our dream. Because we are thrown into the well, or we are sold, we feel like it was wrecked. But I think God wants to encourage us today, like Joseph. No matter what our current circumstances are, and how much it looks like it isn't lining up, that God is in control of your destiny and my destiny. And it's not about you and I setting up each step by step of how we are going to achieve that dream and that thing that God made us for. But it's more about how Joseph responds after he makes his initial mistake. See, he makes the initial mistake by throwing it out there to find his identity. But after he gets thrown into the pit and sold to Potiphar, not knowing he is positioned really for the future destiny that God had shaped him for. He's right in the place where God really wanted him to be. He doesn't even know that. But what does he do? He turns and he goes, God, I trust you. And this is what David did. He finds the same little secret in life that David had. And that is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your path. Proverbs 3. See, David understood this, and all of a sudden Joseph got it. He's with Potiphar and he goes, well, I have nothing. All I have is the dream that I'm bound to. All I have is my God. And so I'm just going to stay bound to that thing. What can I do right now? Joseph just looks and goes, what can I do now? Now that I'm a slave and I'm cut off from my family, How can I help them? How will they ever bow down to me or this dream, this vision that God had given him for greatness? How am I ever going to achieve those things? I don't know, but God, I trust you because you never fail. And so he looks at the floor and he picks up his sponge and he begins to scrub the floor. Because that's what he could do right then. You know, he knew that he needed to be faithful with what was entrusted to him. He understood that principle. And so what he did was he was faithful with what was right in front of him. And that was being a slave to Potiphar and being the best servant he could be to him. So he took what he had in front of him then and he did the best that he could do with it. And it was just decision after decision, task over time, faithful task after faithful task over time, that he all of a sudden found himself the head of Potiphar's house and earning tremendous amounts of influence. He gets chucked into prison because someone else tries to wreck his dream, right? Doesn't only get thrown in the pit, but then he gets thrown into prison. And then he takes what he has right in front of him, right? He looks around in the prison and he goes, how can I help? How can I be a blessing right here? What can I do right now? So what is the vision that I have right now? What is the focus I can have right now? What's the opportunity sitting in front of you right now? Joseph learned to not miss those opportunities. David, pretty much through most all of his life, did not miss those opportunities. David had a tremendous trust in God. And see, when we can let go of the dream that we are bound to, see, you're not bound to the dream because of what you do. You're bound to the dream because of what he has done. He made you for that. He fashioned you for that. Our job isn't to make it happen. Our job is to be faithful with what is in front of us today. So what are you focused on now? What can you do today? What can you do today? I'm sorry that people have crushed your dream. That makes me sad. It makes me sad that you've given up on your dream and you've forgotten that you matter. See, it doesn't say young, strong, healthy people that graduated college and have the right degrees and studied the Bible enough are those that dream dreams and have visions. He says, I pour out my spirit on all flesh, men and women, Gentiles too, everybody. The last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. They will hear the word of the Lord. They will declare the word of the Lord. They will be in the perfect will of God and fully empowered by the Holy Spirit to do his work right now, every day. I think God wants to revitalize your vision. Your vision for what he shaped you for. Your vision for the fact that you matter to people around you. You might not be able to grab a hold of that whole big dream or whatever it is, but you can. Look at what you have in front of you today and be faithful with that. I just want to wrap up this message thinking about what Jesus said in Matthew 28. He came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Okay, so Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. And then he's about to tell the disciples what they're to do with that authority. Right? I think this is pretty important. Says, I have all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, because of this, since I have all of this and I bought it with my blood, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Always, even when I'm in the pit, even when I'm in prison, he's still with me then? Yeah, he's still with you there. Even though you might have been, your dream might have gotten beat up a long time ago. And what you, how you thought it would look, like what Joseph thought his dream would be when he was 17, was much different than when he was in his 40s, right? And when he's in prison and all of a sudden he ends up right at the throne of the Pharaoh and he interprets the Pharaoh's dream. And all of a sudden, overnight, he's put in charge of the entire kingdom. See, it's when you give up on your dream, when you let it go and trust that God has bound you to it, and you focus on just trusting, just leaning on God, and doing what you can do for him right now. How can you be faithful right now? Task over time. Task over time. You know, it works for the positive and it works for the negative. People don't become masters of the Bible in one sitting. People don't get to 500 pounds with one hamburger. Right? It's task over time. It's lots of trips to McDonald's over time. It's lots of settings day after day of time with your Bible, time with Jesus that makes you master anything. It's many, many wasted moments after wasted moments that causes us to look back and go, what happened? What happened to my life? But listen, no matter where you are at, no matter where you are at, God is the great redeemer of time. He doesn't need time. He can take you today, and you can begin to be faithful with the time he's given and trusted to you today. And you will begin to see the dream that he has bound you to manifest. Now listen, Stephen had a dream. His dream was probably not to be martyred and stoned. Maybe it was, but I'm guessing it was probably not what he thought was going to happen. I'm thinking most of us hope for something else, right? He wanted to proclaim the gospel and move the gospel forward, and it came to an abrupt end. It was not the way he had planned. But the seed that he sown, when he was focused on what he was bound to in that moment, he sowed the seed, and it sowed the seed, and I've said this before, into the Apostle Paul and many other Jewish believers, and who was Saul at the time. And then that seed went deep into Paul's heart. Said every man in that room was convicted and cut to the heart because they knew Stephen was right. That included Saul. And he went on and persecuted lots of people after that, even though at that moment he was convicted. See, we might not see in the natural and the current place that we're at that what we focused on in faithfulness and trust to God has truly been the accomplishment of the vision that God has bound us to. We can't always see that in our natural eyes and in the moment. But when we go to heaven and we get to look back at the great story of what God has done in and through us, and in that place, even if our seeds of sowing seem like such a small amount to us, they can be a great revival on the earth as we leave and we make our mark for eternity, right? So church, I want to encourage you, have a vision. Stir up your dream. Stir up the thing that God shaped you for. Even though you've been kicked to the curb a few times, you've been discouraged, and maybe time has gone by and you've given up from time to time, I want to ask you, and I think God is saying this to us as a church, stir up the gift that is within you. Find out what is right in front of you and focus on that and do it. Be faithful to it. Even if you don't understand how it fits the long-term thing. And especially when you're young, God likes to mess with your head, okay? It's part of what how he shapes us as people. And he'll set you up like he did with me in the, you know, on drilling rigs and digging holes and running pipe and grinding tools. God bless America. Commercial fishing and all the crazy stuff. And I'm like, this is not the path to become a pastor. But God was working on my character and who I was, preparing me as an individual. Remember, part of the dream he's bound you to is about building on the platform of your character. He needs that to build on. Okay, will you stand with me? Be patient. Be long-suffering. And know this, that the thing that you can be focused on now is you can win souls. You know, if you are lacking vision in your life, you're like, what do I do? How do I use my gift? Listen, your best gifts are designed to impact people. God empowered you, the Holy Spirit, to touch people's lives. Not so people will look at you and say, what a great person. He designed you and I to touch people, and he designed every single one of us to win a soul. And I want to ask you, when was the last time you won someone to Jesus? He commissioned all of us to do it. When was the last time you won someone to Jesus, and then you did what Matthew 28 said, you made a disciple? If you're lacking vision, I'm telling you, and you're like, what can I focus on now? This is something you can focus on right now, and it is the will of God. You can win a soul. You can make a disciple. You can matter to someone. You can visit a kid who's sick in the hospital. You can visit someone in prison. You can love them there. Right? Each one of us can do this. Each one of us has the ability, has the power, has the time to take one person, love them into the kingdom, and teach them about the basic understanding of who Jesus is. Amen? And there's so much more that God has bound you to. I know it. There's so much more. But each of us can start there, right? Each of us can start with winning a soul, making a disciple, including someone into our life. Loving someone, nurturing someone into the kingdom, right? Amen.